pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me. Joining us now on the line, he's the lead pastor at Pathway Church in Sims. Also got campuses all around the area. But Travis Johnson joins us on the line. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for making time. We always appreciate it. Well, it's been a little while since we've had you on, at least for me, filling or not without a fill-in. But, you kind of watch what's going on around the country, and there's a lot being made of it. But there is, even though the Democrats would argue it's a very small portion of the Democratic Party as a whole, it is on the upswing. And this rise of these socialist ideologies, these ideas that I think are way out of the American mainstream. And I was kind of curious, like, what do you make of it? To me, there's a part of it, the secularization of the country maybe, and not really looking in the right places for answers. And we're going in this, what I think is a very dangerous direction in some places, because people are just looking for answers, and this is what they're coming up with.
Well, I agree. I also, whenever I'm talking about things, I'd like to talk about it from a Christian worldview, from a Christian perspective, biblical perspective. And I just want to say that socialism and communism is incompatible with the Christian worldview. The Bible tells us, thou shalt not covet. And so when we reappropriate earnings from people like the DSA, advocates like the Democratic Socialists of America advocate. It is your communist. This is an anti-Christ spirit. It's an anti-Christian worldview. And I mean, could you imagine, Jeff, could you imagine rewriting the parable of the talents according to the hermeneutic or the worldview of socialists and communists? You would have to take the talents from the person that had two and multiplied them to four, or the one from five to 10, and give them to the servant who squandered and hid the talent they had. So you kill productivity. If you want to kill America, then jump on board with Mamdani and Al-Sayed, not to mention the Islamification of our country. This is a wild partnership that's taking place, and it's not a small thing. It's happening right in our community. Let me also tell you, they're very aggressive. There are some people in those movements that are unhinged, and we should absolutely stiff arm that, distance from ourselves from that, denounce that. We need pastors speaking against it. This is not normal, but it is a battle. We have to face it.
This was like the lesson from the Cold War. And you look at the Soviet Union, and, they really frowned upon organized religion, particularly Christianity. They wanted to be the religion. They wanted you to look at the state as your higher power. I talk about this all the time, but there's got to be alarm bells about this, because I just think increasingly this is what they do in other countries. This is what they do, and it is becoming a thing in Western Europe, right? This isn't a thing that's becoming, certainly in third world countries, that we're going in this direction. And then that seems to me to be the product of it. That you're right, that we're trying to take a, I don't know, a contrived by man solution and impose it on humanity. But this, like you said, these people, the revolutionary, the radicals, and they don't just take a win or two. They want to change the entire system.
It's moving into the South. There's a big headquarters coming for Atlanta. There's a big aim for that. And let me tell you, they're looking at Mobile as well. They're there. It's now, they're a lot of them are living in their mom's basement. If we had basements in Mobile, that's where they're living. It might be in a garage or something. And there's a lot of anger. And I'm telling you, the danger is not like there's a swarm of people diving in there, but the danger is people that are center left that feel like their candidate has to move forward. So they're making these unholy alliances. And so you actually see, you know, between DSA, between Islam, between the radical LGBTQ agenda, you see this partnership taking place. It's overwhelming the Democrat Party. And so you end up with people that are Democrats that actually don't want any part of that, but those deals are bringing it, them into it, and that party is being overrun. I mean, it's a dumpster fire. And, you know, unfortunately, even in our own communities, we have these side deals being made back in the private. Let me tell you, I see it. I recognize it. And there's questions that we have to settle in our own hearts about what kind of community that we're going to be. And I promise that for me, and you know, what I want for people around me is that they work, they aspire, they achieve, they rise. Not that they're like crabs in a bucket trying to pull everybody down. And it's like this, you know, this journey to the bottom. I mean, this is not who we are. We're family friendly community, and we esteem one another. And when we disagree, we can disagree about that. We don't have to go on attacking this so viciously. This is not who we should be. And so my challenge would be if that's kind of how you vote, if you kind of lean, stiff arm that. And you know, hey, there's a room around another campfire. If you have a vision for your children, or you have if you're Gen Z, you have a vision for your future. We don't want an equal sharing of misery, but we want equal opportunity, the ability for pursuit of right life, liberty, and happiness, pursuit of happiness.
Well, that's just the other thing about this, like the Democratic Party, whatever you want to say about it, and it being a center left party, they're seeing the possibility for gains here. There's an incentive here to start embracing that, and they're starting to let a little bit at a time in more and more, and I think it heads in that direction. And you know, our elite institutions, you know, aside from our religious, well, even some of the, you know, the churches in this country are sort of going along with it, that they're incentivized by maybe more participation or more votes or more just self-esteem or something like that. But mm-hmm. that's the trend. It's a real trend that's going on here, I believe.
Well, there's a pressure. There's a real pressure that everybody faces, every business leader, every family, churches, pastors. You know, pastors are prone to it, and political leaders, even political leaders in our own community, that they don't believe in it, but they want the votes, or they need the votes. And so we pander to that, or we don't resist it. We're just silent about it. We think, you know, hey, I actually had somebody tell me this one time, you know, pastor, the banana that sticks out from the bunch gets peeled. You know what? I don't care. I mean, you also have to break from the peloton in order to win the race. And it requires people to be courageous enough to stand up for their kids. You have some parents that will be silent while their kids walk into destruction because they're more concerned with appeasing their children instead of leading and raising their children. And this is happening throughout society. It's happening in our churches. And it's a shame when you have political leaders to know what is right and not do it.
Well,
and the pastors,
I think it's a great point about what's going on in education. And some of it's not even about appeasing the children. We're being held hostage by this worldview, I don't know how to describe it, but that they want their kids to be successful. They want them to excel in their learning environment. And while they may not believe a lot of what they're being taught, they don't teach their kids to object to it. They just like, go ahead and learn this, get your A's, get your good grades, get your high test scores. And I think that, you know, the finished product is going to be more of this ideology, more in society.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, this ideology too, it's silly. There's no ideological continuity. There's a lack of integrity. I'll give you a good example. You know, it's funny. Doug Jones is pro-choice when it comes to life in the womb, but he's anti-choice when it comes to children being able to go to the school that's best for them. So these are not ideological issues. They're personality issues. They're popularity issues. It's money issues. You know, it's expedience. But at some point, there has to be a moral framework, a foundation that guides you. For me, I think the most dangerous thing for me and for you and for people to have a calling on their life, a sense of purpose and destiny, would be to be successful at the wrong things. And so what does it matter if you advance in a particular area? There's some clubs I don't want to be invited to. There's some things I don't want to succeed in.
Right.
And so this is a come to Jesus moment for a lot of people. I take what's happening with the march towards socialism and communism in America, I take it seriously.
Yeah, I do too. Even though it's a very small fraction right now, it's on the uprise. It is the trajectory is up. It's not, oh, well, these guys don't matter. They're just a small fraction of what we're doing here. But the point is, like, whereas, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, this stuff would have been dismissed as just kind of a fringe, silly thing going on. It's not going to really have any substantive support. But now it does. And then there's people who, you know, they are willing to go along with a flawed, failed system.
No, there's no doubt. Hey, Jeff, this stuff has conquered Michigan. It's conquered Minnesota. It's conquered New York. And now you have platforms that are influential that they're able to speak from. And, you know, the legitimacy of that is power. So, you know, proximity to power is power. And so when you have these socialist, communist, man, this is crazy. How in the world did Islam get into partnership with the trans agenda? How did that happen? Right. Well, it's expedient.
It's expedient. And this is, that's such an important point, because we could talk about the merits and the virtues of all these ideas and, you know, and these culture issues, and you and I are going to line up on the same side of it, but a lot of people are going to disagree. But what they need to know is that this is like, that's very tangential. It's really just a lust, a grab for power. It's a pursuit of power. And they're framing as these populist issues to achieve election wins or get a piece of legislation through or whatever it may be.
There's no question about that. And with every moment, population, with every moment, demographics are changing. And we have to understand that we have to win on spelling out exactly what is happening. And so when you look at, you know, even here in Alabama, especially in Texas is facing this down with Islam. Like, you have a movement forward with Islam, then you have Tal Rico, this guy. I mean, he's a pastor, minister, that believes there's six genders. I'm like, where did he get that? Who licensed that? But these pieces are in alliance. And let me tell you, that alliance is only short-lived, because there's 1,400 years of history of what happens. The very first place where Christians were named as Christians was in Antioch. That was Syria. There are no Christians in Syria anymore. This move has taken place, and, you know, Somalians were dumped off in Minnesota, and possibly there's that was an agenda to do just some of this very thing. And so we need to recognize that. And for those that are on the extreme progressive left, the trans agenda is a very unpopular ideology. But for those that are there, let me tell you, you will be discarded. That ideology will be discarded should that be successful. At least that's what we have seen globally.
Pastor, we got to get out of here. We're out of time. But if folks want to check out Pathway or anything else you're doing, how can they find out more?
Yeah, well, I mean, first, Jeff, I would say to everybody, find a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and get a pastor that will speak cleanly and a place that you can go and worship and get to know Jesus, follow Jesus. There are a lot of things that are worth doing in life, but nothing is worth doing more than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's some amazing churches in our community. I'd encourage everybody to bring your family to church.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. We'll do it again. We'll do it again soon.
You're awesome, Jeff. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars.
couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, once again, we're wide open till the end of the program. 251-343-0106. Programming note here coming up on tomorrow's show, jam-packed show tomorrow. Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News will make time for us, as he does on Fridays. Philip Ensler, who is the Democrat nominee for lieutenant governor, will also be on the program. We'll just get to hear from him and get his, running for lieutenant governor and talk about that. Also, the Republican nominee for governor, Tommy Tuberville, will make time for us on the show. And our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, that's coming up on tomorrow's broadcast. So it'll be a very busy show tomorrow. I'll roll for a text or two here before we get to the break. Troy Fan writes, "Hi, Jeff. Just leaving the Pensacola Airport. Very happy to say I could clearly hear your show." Well, thank you for listening, Troy Fan. Tim, Donald J. Trump bridge to the Gulf of America, I think that would get most of the funding needed for the project. What do you think? Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. If you haven't heard, they want to call it the gateway to the Gulf of America, the Donald J. Trump bridge. And that's the Barry Moore proposal. He wants to do that, which... the first thing most of us very cynical people, now I'm not questioning Barry Moore's fidelity or loyalties or, you know, that this is just a cynical strategy, because I think he really does. And we've gone through this several times, the history of Barry Moore with Donald Trump. But this big, beautiful bridge, sending pictures of it, show it in the skyline with the skyline in the background. Very emblematic of Mobile, maybe someday, 50 years from now, and it could be named for you, and it'll be there a long, 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 long time. Named after you. You got to help us get this bridge. Whatever it may be it more federal funding or just an emphasis on it. Maybe it's even this, like, kind of ease some of the political burden. Do you think Donald J. Trump wants a bridge with an $8 toll named after him? Do you think that's something that he wants his name associated with? So, I think this would take like an act of the legislature to do. But if they can wheel and deal and maybe get something out of it, why not? Would you care? Do you care what these bridges are named after? I know there's a lot of Democrats who are like, ugh. Go take the Wallace Tunnel. There's some of you who probably will do that. Well, maybe not listening to this show, but there are some who just have such animosities for this president. I guess you got to be against something. I mean, I guess here's the question. Would you care if it were the Joe Biden bridge or the Barack Hussein Obama bridge or the, I don't know, whatever. Would we object to that if it were a Democrat and it meant no toll? We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you do is hit us up on that text line. Ultra runner batch loading efficiency is held hostage by one kid not paying attention. The solution is to punish the parent of the slow and inattentive kid by holding them off to the side in a public shaming area while the rest of you stare disapprovingly and leave. Efficiency will improve rapidly. Having the one kid who isn't paying attention, you got to give them time at the kindergarten age to kind of learn the system, I suppose. It'll come over time. The car line, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to be dealing with it for the next, like I said, 18 years of my life, probably. But that's fine. At least until they're driving, and then maybe I can make whoever's got a driver's license have to deal with that. Derek, tone deaf, that's why the Republicans are losing. People are hungry, can't afford-ish, and you guys are like, what's wrong with that? Completely tone deaf. No, I mean, Derek, I've been telling you that I think the gas prices are what's going to kill. I mean, all this stuff we're talking about, socialism and DSA candidates, and it's important to talk about because I think it's a long-term trend, but in the short term, you're absolutely right. And it's not even that, you know, if things got better, there's still this underlying perception. And whether or not that perception is accurate or inaccurate, it doesn't matter. It's the perception, it's people's opinion on things that's going to shape the electorate. So I don't think it's, you know, we're talking tone deaf or whatever, however you want to phrase that. I don't think it's being missed at all, but it is. It is like dragging an anvil to the finish line. No doubt about it. Your guest minister is describing exactly what I'm concerned about, the Islamification of America. I just, maybe someday, I think there's some pockets, obviously, in this country you need to be concerned about. And culture, we have to talk about it. However, we do have a freedom of religion in America. People want to worship Allah and read the Quran. And that's America. I want to be real careful about religious liberties. Because if you start going after Islam in a punitive way, from a government policy standpoint, who's to say the Baptist Church isn't next? Who's to say the Catholic Church isn't next because they're out of sorts with a Democrat administration or whatever? You need to be really careful with this, okay? Thank you so much for having Pastor Travis Johnson on your show. He is a bright light and voice for our city. That from David. DI texter, the charlatan needs to read Luke 12:48. His type has ruined the GOP. In what way? Luke 12:48, for everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. But the difference here, when you talk about it in a biblical context, it involves free will, not a government mandate. So you can't conflate the two. What is a biblical expectation? The other is your power structure, your system of governance, demanding it. That's the key distinction here, DEI texture, at least in my mind. Michael, I think for the good pastor brought up the threat the church in the Middle East is under. It's very dangerous for them in Lebanon, Syria, and throughout the region, especially with Israel's indiscriminate bombing. So, Mike, I did see the Vatican speaking out about this. There's probably something to what you keep bringing up on this program, and it's going to threaten Israel's standing with America. But I don't get it. Fire Dog, can we bring back the dunce cap? At 16, you will be happy to buy the kid's car. I made sure all of mine had one. It may be that we're fighting Terminators by the time your kids are 16 or they have self-driving cars. Maybe hover cars like the DeLorean in Back to the Future. I'm hoping for teleportation. Maybe. Let's keep rolling here. Sean, I think the GOP would prefer massive losses in 26 to 28. It's their brand just to complain about the D's in power makes them a lot of money. There's some truth to that. There are some on Capitol Hill who, Mitch McConnell is a great example. He liked being the leader of the Republican caucus more than he liked Republicans be in charge of Capitol Hill. So he would not back candidates that were a threat to his leadership, even if it meant a Republican loss. The thing you got to say about Mitch McConnell, he broke with like historic norms. Because the way this would work for forever in this country, when the leader, when the party lost elections, when the party lost control of a chamber of Congress, the leader would resign. That your system didn't work. You have yourself to blame. Now, they would just point the finger at Trump. It's what Mitch McConnell did. And Nancy Pelosi as well. And Pelosi ultimately, when she did lose, gave up the speakership on her own terms. But what you did, you as leader, the reason why you're in leadership is, there's a great book by John Boehner kind of detailing how he rose to the Speaker of the House. You get out around the country and you raise a lot of money for your caucus. It's true in Montgomery. You are the conduit to make sure that your members get reelected and they're safe. They don't have primary challenges. They don't have threats at a general election that they're taken care of. And you essentially kind of buy their loyalty off. And you buy their loyalty in a way that makes them vote for you to be the leader. And that's what happened, though. We've lost control as Republicans at Capitol at times, and it wasn't McConnell who fell on the sword. The one that sticks out in my mind the most was 2020. And Republicans could have kept the Senate. And they lost the presidential election. But it went into overtime in Georgia. Two U.S. Senate seats. And Mitch McConnell lost both of them. And he didn't take any of the blame. He just pointed his finger at Trump in January 6th. But hearing from people on the ground who were working in those elections, trying to help the Republicans of Georgia, that the people that were sitting down there at the expense of Mitch McConnell's NRSC, they just give it up. They were just collecting a paycheck. They did not work to keep Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue in office. That's how John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock became U.S. senators. And I think he should have taken some to blame. But then when we talked about it, Todd Stacey and I had a knockdown, drag-out argument on this program right after it happened. I remember it clearly. Mitch McConnell took none of the blame, even though it was his people down there. And it was all the money he had raised in the name of preserving those two seats as Republican seats. They got clobbered. They had some headwinds, but they still got clobbered down there. And he didn't do the honorable thing. It was all about him maintaining his position as minority leader, just the leader of the Republican caucus in the Senate. That's all he cared about. And he put that ahead of the majorities and getting Republicans elected. I would say even the same was probably true in 2017 with Roy Moore and Doug Jones. That when Roy Moore defeated their guy, Luther Strange, they turned their back on Roy Moore. They did not want Roy Moore in the United States Senate. Toodles, Bab, or ditto to the other texters about the pastor. Always enjoy him. Derek, our greatest ally, spits on Christian pastors. Should brush up on the French Revolution. It's coming. Food, shelter, insurance, cars, it's everything. It's not perception, it's reality. The people are not going to do more of the same. Bob writes, Jeff, tolls for bridges in New York are as high as $23.30 on the George-Washington Bridge, the New Jersey Turnpike, I-95, a toll road you pay about a mile. I don't want to see an $8 toll here, but we would not be alone. Even the Wallace Tunnel had a toll when it opened. I believe it was the Bankhead Tunnel that had the toll. But we are not. Some of that in New York City is traffic control. That they impose these high tolls to encourage people to use mass transit. They try to social engineer through tolls, and then they collect money on the back end. When I was in Chicago, I told you there was like a $12 toll bridge each way. It wasn't even that great of a bridge. Just kind of crossed over into Indiana, into Hammond, the future home of the Chicago Bears. But I think that's not a system we want to encourage in Alabama. An $8 toll. Pat, Israelis don't care about Christians. They care about Americans. America, because we send them money and weapons anytime we ask. Yet every Christian I know cares about Israel like they're not full of people who don't believe in Jesus was Christ. It hasn't made sense to me in a long time why we care so much about Israel. It's not the same Israel it was when Jesus was alive. We litigated this extensively. What is the, and I've had pastors on multiple radio shows kind of give me their insight into it. And the best I've come up with on this, Pat, is I think you have to leave a little bit of room there. We don't necessarily need to conflate the Israeli government with the chosen people, Israel. But I don't think that you can turn your back on it in good conscience, in good faith. Mike, the Randy Fine election was intriguing to me, not because I liked the challenger, but it showed that even 20% of registered closed primary Republican voters fully rejected Zionism support for Israel. That's not going to be a good thing for the average Jewish person in 10 years when their protectors are boomers and the Protestant religions are in the minority. And the DI texter was some more. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Matthew 22:21 is not voluntary. It's all nonsense to me. But these DSA folks are far more compatible with the teachings of Jesus than the Fox Business Clown. Who's the Fox Business Clown? Oh, you're talking about Pastor Travis Johnson. No, but it is free will. And your idea, DI texter, it is not, you're not doing it because the difference here with communism and these ideas about socialism are being imposed on you through a man-made institution, the government, not because of the teachings of Christ, but the threat of going to jail. So DI texture, it's as if the government, you want to stand in for a strict biblical adherence. And I mean, that's the difference here.
It's where I drank my first beer.
That's a very important distinction. A couple more texts we'll get to as we close out the program. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I learned the path to heaven. It's full of sinners and believers. Learned that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers.
My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Thursday morning. Real quick, coming up on tomorrow's program, Todd Stacey will be with us, as well as Philip Insler. He is the Democrat nominee for Lieutenant Governor. Tommy Tuberville, Republican nominee for Governor and our senior U.S. Senator. And then we will close it out with State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So please make sure you tune in for that midday mobile coming up at the Chamber of Commerce Business Expo, I think today, broadcasting live, I believe. So you want to stick around for that. Let's get through a few texts here. Derek writes, and that's the point. Our leaders care more for them than us. Terrible turncoat, Tommy and Benedict Britt. See, let's keep going here. Toothless Bammer. By the way, I heard over the weekend the Bears are going to Arlington Heights. Hamilton was never in the cards. I have nothing inside here, but from others who are more familiar with the area. It just seems crazy to me, Toothless Bammer, to walk away from Soldier Field. Well, it's just such a historic location. It'd be like the Packers walking away from Lambeau or the Cubs walking away from Wrigley. But, that's the mood of the NFL and the business of professional sports. I mean, Chicago is a great sports town, even if you have issues with some of the teams there. But they support their teams, and they know their stuff. And, just to have to go out and, slug it out through a crumbling building, maybe there's a way to do it. But it's just like when the Redskins moved to Maryland. It just isn't the same. Now there's exceptions when these teams move out to the suburbs. I think the decision by Atlanta to move the Braves to Cobb County has really worked for them. But, Indiana is just, the taxation, and it's just a friendlier environment. Jason, if I took a shot every time Mike referred to Israel and boomers, I'd be hammered in the first hour. Get some new material, Mike. One more here. Ultra Runner writes, I've really grown to enjoy 1819 and considering a membership. What about sweetening the pot by offering members a chance to call into your show? The show's not really an extension of 1819 News. I kind of do it on my own. And it's just, dude, there's some logistical hurdles, Ultra Runner, with the call-in. Now, we're going to work on that someday. But there's some logistical struggles here with getting that and connecting those dots. But the text is so much more efficient. And I get it. And some of you write these long texts, and it would just be easier just to call in and say what you got to say over the phone. But it's just sort of the way the flow of the show goes. I've been hearing it ever since I've been on the air here. Why don't you take more calls? So maybe in the future. It's not. I'm not like trying to stymie your voice. I read almost every text, except with the exception of one texter. He who shall not be mentioned right now, but he knows. Y'all know who he is, and I just kind of skip past it. But we try to do, to compensate for not having calls, do the text line as much as possible. Anyway, that's it for me. I have got to get out of here. Midday Mobile on the way, so stick around for that. I'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is where